In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode number 183. Is that right? 183?
Correct.
Wow, we're getting up there. I say this all the time, though. My name is Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Put Upon.
You're Put Upon?
Yeah.
He's Put Upon. It's like one of those weird cat names.
I thought you were like Budokan.
He is Budokan, too.
That was a good movie.
Rubbing the belly.
Ooh, rub the belly.
Rub the head.
Go ahead.
Forehead.
I don't care. How have you been, Kevin?
It's been okay. I've seen some pretty good movies of late. So
that's good.
So have I.
Yeah?
I'm indifferent.
No, you're just different.
So what do you have special planned for our 200th episode, or have you even given any thought?
Good Lord, that's like next year.
It's next year, yeah.
I don't know. I'm suspecting that'll be around Oscar time.
Probably, but don't worry, I have something in store.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to do an unveiling to you.
We should do a live episode where we're all together again.
We're going to at your house.
Oh, okay.
That's the plan.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you invited me.
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, we're coming over to your house to do it.
Oh, okay.
And I'm bringing a special surprise for it.
Karen!
Oh, yeah. No.
PSP's back.
PSP's still shopping. I think she got talking to TTC bus again. Her posts are killing me.
I haven't seen them.
Anyway, I'm on the bus, and somebody's very stinky.
On Facebook, it's true.
Oh, another Will, they're always complaining about the TTC. And this Will, like, Warren and I have talked about it, and he's the only person, well, besides Karen now, he's the only person I know that has this much trouble with the TTC.
Kevin, I love Kevin. He keeps telling me how nice and cold the TTC is.
Man, I got on the bus one day, and it was so cold.
How cold was it?
There was snow in the bus.
So there was snow bus.
No, there wasn't. And it was so cold, my hair, which was a little damp, froze.
There you go.
So you were frozen?
I was frozen. Oh. And then I said, let it go.
Speaking of which, sidebar. I saw the Idina Menzel on Friday.
Bless you.
I had a balcony seat. I got moved.
Oh, is that who that was? Is she from Let It Go?
Yeah.
Frozen?
Yes.
Okay.
She's also from Rent.
Oh, okay. Well, I just paid my rent.
Huh? Well, okay. I rented Rent. I've seen Rent, and now I bought Rent. So I'm all rented out.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my
now
God.
You can rant about Rent.
Oh, God.
God. Oh. Actually, the concert was really good. She starts singing one of the songs from Rent, like Seasons of Love, right? She gets about a quarter way through it, and then she says, "You know what? Anthony raps in the audience here. Let's come on stage." So he comes running on stage. He's about halfway through the audience. He comes running on stage, and they start singing Seasons of Love together.
That must have been life changing.
Oh, guys are killing me today. Okay, I have a quick experience before we start.
Oh, yeah?
I went to Enniskillen yesterday for the Bug Chart Festival.
The Bug Chart?
The Bug Chart Festival, yeah.
Okay, so I'm at the Butter Tart Festival, and I'm walking up towards it. Of course, there's a yard sale.
Of course.
And I have to stop because it's me.
$2 movies.
Nope, even better. So I show up and the woman has one movie I'm interested in, only one. Uh-huh. And I go, "How much is it?" She goes, "How much do you want to pay?" I'm like, "A quarter." "Okay. Only if you take five. Five for a dollar."
You know how hard it is for me to find five movies, Kevin?
Apparently hard.
It is. Two of them I gave to Bob, and I got two Blu-rays and the movie I wanted for $5. But I'll tell you the movies later.
Okay.
Okay. Did you have to wrap up like a mummy this week, Kev? It was so cold in the bus.
No.
Oh.
I didn't. Sorry. That wasn't a good segue.
I tried.
I wrote a segue. No, I'm just kidding.
Did you go to see your mummy?
No, I went to see The Mummy.
Oh, The Mummy. Okay.
Directed by Alex Kurtzman. Starring Tom Cruise, Russell Crowe, Sophia Boutella, Annabelle Wallace, Jake Johnson, Stephen Thompson, James Arama, Soam Kapila, Courtney B. Vance, Marwan Kenzari, and Matthew Wilkes. So, did we all see this one?
Yep.
We did.
So, this is part of the... This is supposed to be the second movie in the Universal Dark whatever line of horror movies. The first one being Dracula Untold, which I don't think anybody saw.
I saw it.
I did see it eventually. But
Simon saw it too, he said.
I guess it sets up who Dracula is in this universe. But so this is actually...
Uh-oh. We lost Simon, so you'll have to keep talking.
Someone keeps messaging me here. Where did Simon go?
He went upstairs. He'll be right back.
Okay, he could just say, excuse me.
He could.
Did you know that this was a sequel to the other Mummy movies?
I didn't know that. I just thought it was a redo.
So, apparently,
so it's, all of a sudden everybody's messaging me. So it's a continuation then?
It's kind of... It's not, obviously it's not the same mummy. It's a different mummy.
Yeah.
But it's, there are scenes in the movie when they grab the Book of the Dead and the Book of Anubis or whatever from it. And it's being held by that government agency that's being run by Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, you gotta love Russell Crowe.
Love Russell Crowe.
I thought he was terrible in this movie.
he was fine.
I did not like this movie.
Who did?
Oh, I did.
You know what really bothered me the most about this movie?
What?
Is that Nick from New Girl was in this movie, and he was the sidekick to Tom Cruise.
He was.
But Tom Cruise's character was named Nick.
Yes.
So Nick kept calling Nick, and it was throwing me off through the whole time whenever they were on screen together. And I'm like, no, Nick is the guy from New Girl. He's not Tom Cruise.
Oh.
Nick's not a Tom Cruise name.
No.
Like Jack or...
Jack.
Something with a... Well, Jack is not that different from Nick, but, you know. Something, you know, like... I don't know. It just doesn't... Nick doesn't seem to me like a Tom Cruise name. And I didn't like his character, and I didn't like the whole thing. And there were too many, like... underwater scenes. I think it was like he wanted to do this movie so he could swim underwater for like 10 minutes at a time.
Oh, didn't we have that in Mission Impossible 5?
Yes.
Yeah, he loves to swim underwater and hold his breath.
It's so cool.
He proves he can do it. He wants to prove he can do it.
So basically, I mean, it was kind of cool that this mummy was hidden from everyone and in a completely different part of the world from where Egypt would have buried someone.
Yes, just randomly placed there. Here we go. What?
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it didn't bother me. Like, I thought, maybe this might get better.
It
gets better.
It doesn't get better.
Why is Jekyll and Hyde around now in modern times?
Because they never killed him off.
He's a dark universe. We got to have them all.
Yeah. And, I don't know, it was stupid. The whole thing was stupid. I thought the mummy herself was kind of cool. But they capture her, like, pretty quickly. And then it's like the Lust After Tom Cruise show.
Correct.
Half an hour. Apparently this mummy story was not, but the other mummy movies are kind of based on the old Boris Karloff mummy movie.
Yeah.
Which I've seen.
But this one is an entirely different mummy story. It's like a loosely based on a Arthur Conan Doyle story, I think. Or maybe Bram Stoker. But it's, anyway, it was not good. It was overdone. And at the end, he becomes Darkman.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he hides in the shadow. And then he does a voiceover, which is clearly not him speaking at the time, but, like, recorded in a studio after the fact. It doesn't sound right. And it sounded like Darkman at the end of the thing when he does his little voiceover. And he hides in the shadow and you can only see his eye. And then all of a sudden he's in the desert with Nick or whatever. And they're riding off into the sunset with clouds behind them. And it was, I don't know, it was dumb.
It was completely terrible.
Yeah.
What was the point? I don't understand. Like, I did see Dracula Untold.
Yeah.
That was terrible. This is terrible. I don't even know what next is. And I mean, the Dark Universe is, I have no interest.
I think it's dead.
It's got to be dead. This was awful. You know,
the next one would logically be like the Wolfman or Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, I think, is next.
So, I don't know.
It can't be worse. Like, the first two have been terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe they should hire a scriptwriter. Because everybody, the studio can blame Tom Cruise for bringing his own people. Like, whatever.
It was those guys that did...
Jack Reacher.
Yeah, but they did something else, too.
And that was terrible.
It was, wasn't it Orky and someone else?
I don't know. It was awful. I don't care.
The same guys who did, like, the Star Trek. Or Star Wars. No, Star Trek. The relaunch.
Oh, Alex Kurtzman. That's right. He directed
that. Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't understand these films, why they're made. They're just terrible.
There's probably an audience for them. That's why.
Nobody saw this one. Bombed in theaters. Bombed.
I still saw it in the theater. There actually was quite a few people in the theater when I saw it.
Well, then people... Okay, I'm not saying people don't go to see movies. I'm just saying it didn't do well.
Okay.
Like, we have to go see this movie. So we don't have a choice.
Sophia Boutella, I thought, was good in it.
I like Sophia Boutella a lot. But we'll see where she goes. I got to see more from her.
She's actually filming here in Toronto something. I forget what.
Have you been to the zoo lately, Kevin?
No, I haven't.
You didn't go to the zookeeper's wife?
No, I have not met the zookeeper's wife yet either. Oh,
she's very nice.
Yes, she is.
Is she? She likes to help people in Poland, from what I understand.
Yeah, I heard that, too. I heard she smuggles them in the underground.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you know that the movie was actually directed by Nicky Caro?
No, I had no idea. My sheet blanked on that one.
Yeah. It stars Jessica Chastain and Daniel Brühl and Johan Helderberg.
Yeah, Johan Helderberg, I like, doesn't really do much. He's more of a placeholder.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He's just sort of there.
What about Timothy Radford?
I think that's her son.
Efrat Dor.
Yeah, no.
Ido Goldberg. Yeah. Shira Haas. Michael McElhatton.
One of those is the housekeeper.
Martha Isova. Val Kamaluka.
They're nobodies.
I don't recognize any of the people in this movie.
This film is all based on the Chester Chastain and Daniel Brühl relationship.
And I haven't seen it, so I can't really give you any perspective on it.
Well, it's a historical movie about the zoo gets taken over by the Germans. And the Germans are trying to raise bison. Daniel Brühl is, because he's a scientist. And he has a soft spot for Jessica Chastain. So he kind of gives them more leeway than they should.
Okay.
So in doing so, they start, because Jessica Chastain's husband figures out taking the scraps from the Jews to feed the animals, he says, but really he's feeding the people in the basement because they're smuggling Jews out. So that's how they do it. They take them from the occupation zone to their zoo and then until they can find them a safe place.
Okay.
And that's pretty much your whole movie.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think Jessica Chastain has a lot to work with. I think she's excellent when she does. I mean, I do believe in everything she's going through.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, of course, there has to be a bubble at the end of the film when you're getting going, come on, let's get here. Give me something. And then the whole part takes when the Allies finally take over Poland, and then General Brew figures out what's going on.
After the fact.
After the fact. So, really, nothing. And all this comes from her diary I read. And I'm like, I just did nothing for me. I felt it could have been done quicker. It could have been just like a couple paragraphs in the book, and I didn't see a point to why this film was made. Paul?
I saw it.
And do you have something to say on it?
No, you pretty much said it all.
Okay, so you're agreeing with me.
No, I'm not.
Well, then state why you're not agreeing with me.
I liked it. It was a part in history of like World War II. It was, as you said, and it was like the occupation of Poland, and they were doing an underground resistance.
No, they're not doing an underground resistance.
Yes, they are.
Her husband does for one scene in the movie.
Okay, well, you assume that that's why he's there.
And we don't really know, which annoyed me about that scene. Like, do you know why he joined the resistance?
No, I don't know why. You tell me. That's okay.
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Nope.
It should have explained that to us in the film, I thought.
I guess so.
So Bob basically is being non-confrontational because he really can't defend his point.
I don't have a point. I enjoyed the movie. That's all I'm saying.
At one point, her husband goes to fight for the resistance.
Right.
And gets captured.
Uh-huh.
But we don't know why he joined the resistance or who the resistance is. Obviously, maybe they're just freedom fighters in Poland, but I don't know. It never tells us that. It just cuts to a scene. You see him. Here's a bunch of guns, and he jumps into the fray and gets caught. That's about all we know. And then, of course, we find at the end of the film he does return.
Well, that's nice.
I'm like, oh, that's great. But, I mean, this film's been done before. There was nothing new here. I guess this is the Poland angle.
Wow.
So, I mean, I wish I could give you more, but there really wasn't anything more for me. I was looking for more. And if my colleague would tell me what I'm missing, would be great. But since he's turtling as usual.
Sure. I enjoyed the movie. It was like Jessica Chastain was doing a very good job of like portraying a character that didn't like what was going on during the war, and she wanted to change it. She wanted to change things.
Great, I agree.
Right. Well, so she sort of did, but
why'd she change?
Well, she got people out of being killed for one. Like they were going to be sent to the. They were going to be sent to the gas chamber to be gassed. And so she got them out of the country, I'm assuming, on underground.
If Brule had killed her son in that one scene, film would have blew me away.
I was thinking that because I heard a shot and I'm going, he's dead.
Yeah, and that movie would have given me, I don't know what the word, reconnaissance, give me something for this film if that had happened.
Yeah.
But it didn't. So I'm thinking in real life.
Well, but you sat there going, is he dead? And then
he
runs out and hugs his mother.
But if the film had showed that or that had happened, I think I would have had more respect for this film. If something had happened. Not that I want to see a child die. I'm just saying I watch enough guys die. I mean, just it sort of seemed a little late on Brule's part to do something.
Right.
You know? Like, he had to leave anyway. Because the Allies were coming.
Yeah.
So he just, time to go.
Yep.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it because it was what it was. It's like, it was entertaining for me because it's like, you may have seen a whole bunch of movies that are like the World War II related and the resistance and stuff. I just thought it was a little different take on it. Like she started off as a zookeeper in a zoo and then they took over the zoo and took the animals and then. And then, I don't know, I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I wish I could have enjoyed the film as much as you did, that's all.
Well, that's asking a lot for you to enjoy something.
Exactly.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, are you guys okay?
I'm fine.
Yeah, we've both been transformed by the movie.
Oh. I wish I...
Well, this is the last night for it. Transformers The Last Night, directed by Michael Bay, stars Mark Wahlberg, Anthony Hopkins, Josh Duhamel, Laura Haddock, Stanley Tucci, John Turturro, the voices of Peter Cullen, Eric Idle, Frank Welker, John Goodman, Ken Watanabe, Steve Buscemi, Omar. So is Steve Buscemi in it, or is it his voice?
His voice.
His voice.
Wow. So, I did not see this movie.
Lucky you.
I saw it.
Yeah, I have no interest in seeing it.
I think I saw it in the theater, too.
You did.
Yeah, I did. I had to. I was interested.
It was a Bob special. He shows up at 7:10 and plays at 7:20. So you just watch.
You know why? You know why I think I liked it and you didn't? You've seen all. Is this the fourth movie or fifth?
I don't know.
It's in a line of many movies. I think I missed. I think I saw the first one and this one. Missed all of them in between. So I'm looking at all the reviews of the ones in between. They said they suck, and I'm going, okay, well. And Michael Bay's an awful director, but because Anthony Hopkins was like, what was he like? He was one of the Knights of the Round Table, right?
He was the last one.
He was the last one, but his character was supposed to live that long, okay? But you took that with a grain of salt. But I was watching it. I'm going, okay, this is a part of like the Knights of the Round Table and Sir Galahad and. King, whatever. And who?
Arthur.
Yeah, him. So that part interested me, and then I was interested in like I just found it interesting. Like they brought their planet to Earth to try to take over Earth.
Correct.
Okay. And. I don't know, I just found, like, because I guess watching the original cartoons of the Transformers back in whatever year it was, I was expecting something, like, silly. But this was actually not silly, it was actually watchable.
Kevin?
You didn't see it.
I didn't see it, so that's one thing I have not...
Unwatchable.
Yeah, watchable is not a word I would associate with.
I could not tell you the plot of this film because there is no plot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Literally, it's random scenes Michael Bay has decided to shoot.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense to me at all, ever. The choices they make, people that are dead in other films or in this film. It says the Transformers in the first movie said that this is the first time they came. Well, obviously they've been around since King Arthur time. I don't understand this film. I do. And why does a Transformer need an oxygen mask? I wish I could explain it to you because I don't know. This film just makes no sense ever. Like, I can't even give you a plot scenario because there is no plot. They just jump from one scene to the next doing different things. I don't think Michael Bay is a drive director. I think he needs a script. Writers.
I think he's just given too much control. He doesn't...
I mean, Optimus Prime is on a different planet for most of the film. Uh-huh. And Bumblebee and Sam with Nikki for the first film. Well, he used to be one of these guys that was allowed to do it, but he's dead. So I think you got to treat each Transformers movie as its own movie. And nothing to do with the movie before, even though Optimus Prime in the last movie said he was leaving.
Yeah, but this movie, the last movie, like a whole bunch of the world was destroyed, and isn't it continued from there?
No. But Mark Wahlberg's back. I wish I could tell you, Kevin. I don't understand.
Well, I'm glad I don't.
It was 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I could not explain to you the plot.
Wow.
The plot was they're trying to take...
They had to get the staff to stop the big creature at the end. That's the whole movie for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Right. Because the woman robot on her planet, what's the planet? Cybertron. She's controlling
Optimus.
And she says, you have to kill people and we have to take over this world so we can live. That's the plot of the movie.
And it took them 2 hours and 20 minutes to get there.
Yes, it did.
Oh, my God.
Like, I had to sit through Mark Wahlberg trying to act for 2 hours and 22 minutes. And then all the woman's old lady aunts, the sexy Megan Fox British version of her.
Yeah.
Aunts are having sex in the library when they're trying to find the stuff.
Oh, yes.
That was supposed to be funny, I bet.
It was funny.
And why do they need a sub when they have 40,000 Transformers?
A what?
Oh, don't forget, Megatron's back, even though he died in the last one. And you can go to Transformer Jail, and you can demand who you want back.
Nice.
And he brings a lawyer.
He has a lawyer.
Megatron has a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
Explain to me this. Can somebody? Kevin, this is the worst bottle of shit I've ever seen in my life. This is number one worst movie I've seen of the year. It makes Mummy actually good.
No, that can't
you know
be
what?
The worst
that,
movie
that's
of the
year. That's good. I like the fact that, because Transformers should be the worst movie of the year.
100% the worst movie I've seen of the year.
Oh, I've got a better one for you. I just can't think of it right now.
Can we just talk about a good movie finally?
Are you coming home?
I am coming home. Can we homecome, Kev?
Are you sure you want to talk? Is this a good movie?
Spider-Man Homecoming?
Spider-Man Homecoming, directed by John Watts.
I think it's a fantastic movie.
Marissa Tomei, Michael Keaton, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Gwyneth Paltrow. Spoilers. John Favreau, Zendaya, Lori Harrier, Bokeem Woodbine, Tyne Daly, Donald Glover, Hannibal Buress. So, Spider-Man back with Marvel Cinematic Universe now. We get to go back and see a different Spider-Man, a younger version. He's in high school. He's coming home from the Berlin airport incident where the Civil War battle took place.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a new suit, courtesy of Mr. Stark. And he's trying to figure out his role.
I forgot.
In the world. Well, who is Spider-Man, and what is his place in this community? And is he going to be an Avenger or any of that stuff?
Why didn't you like this movie, Kevin?
What?
I love this movie. This is great. This is my favorite movie of the year, I think.
I forgot the voice of his suit. I forgot to put that down.
It's Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, it's Jennifer Connelly.
I thought this was fantastic.
It's exactly what I've been looking for. I don't have old man Tobey Maguire trying to pretend he's a teenager.
Well, you know what? The Tobey Maguire movie, you know, it was I look at it like Tobey's movies were Stan Lee and Steve Ditko Spider-Man. This movie is Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
This is Brian Michael Bendis' version. It's a kid in high school, and he's got his best friend. In the Ultimate, it's Genki, and this is Ned Leeds. And, you know, you see the names are the same, but they're not necessarily the same characters or the same relationships. So you see a Betty Brant on the news thing in high school, and you're like, no, Betty Brant. But that's not the Betty Brant that we know.
No.
It's another version.
Yeah.
Nothing's the same. But anyway, I enjoyed it immensely, and I thought Michael Keaton was fantastic.
So no,
I thought he took what was basically probably not much of a character on the page and really imbued him with a sense of values and a purpose and a reason for why he did things that made sense.
I agree.
And I mean, there are a lot of great sequences in this, but when he opens the door, when he goes to pick up Liz for the prom and for the homecoming dance, and there's Michael Keaton, and it turns out he's Liz's father, spoilers, that's one of the great moments in this movie. It's like totally it's such a Spider-Man moment that, you know, the father of my girl is my enemy, you know? When he's driving him to the dance, and he's there, you know, Peter knows he's the villain, and suddenly Michael Keaton is pinning the stuff together, and you can see the wheels turning, and he's like, wait a second, this kid is Spider-Man.
No.
And then their little talk in the car, and then their fight and the whole thing where Peter's pinned under rubble and it's right out of Spider-Man 33.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, he's got to do the, you know, Peter, is he Peter, the frail kid that's under rubble, or is he Spider-Man that's going to save the world? And I thought Tom Holland was just amazing in the part too. I thought fantastic all around, and you could tell that John Favreau and Robert Downey Jr. were having a lot of fun.
Oh, for sure they were.
Probably the most fun they've had since Iron Man 1.
Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, little moments, and then having Pepper show up at the end, and he proposes to her, and he's like, I've got this ring in my pocket. I've been carrying around since 2008.
Yes.
That was just the year of the first Iron Man movie, and they're like, oh, okay. Like I said, this is just fun. It was not a super serious movie. It was not didn't have the same gravitas as some of the Avengers movies, but I thoroughly enjoyed it at every level.
Your turn.
I agree with Kevin. I really enjoyed it. Like it's obviously in my top 10. It's for this year.
Number one.
No.
Six out of five. 11 out of 10.
It's in the top five.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was good. Like when he knocks on the door and then I what's his name?
Michael
Keaton answers the door. I'm going, hey, and then I go, uh-oh. And there was a few in the movie. I go, well, this is good. I just kept enjoying it more and more as I watched it. I mean, there was nothing wrong that I could see.
That whole Washington Monument sequence?
Fantastic.
Yeah. And really good. You got the sense of the 3D.
When he's trying to break the window?
Yeah.
I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah.
I get into some other things. I thought his high school buddy was fantastic.
The man in the chair.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was like, but you're Spider-Man, dude. You know, it just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And I like Marissa Tomei. I thought a good job whenever she showed up. I thought it was perfect.
Oh, the scene when they're in the Thai restaurant?
Yes.
And the guy brings her the pre-dessert?
Yes.
And they're talking about, I think he barbs you.
Yes.
That was nice. And, you know, and the joke, of course, is that, how's your aunt, Peter? You know, like, the little sequences with this, like, the sandwich store owner.
Yes.
He goes in and he's joking and he says, how's your aunt, Peter? And Peter turns around and goes, oh, how's your daughter? Sandwich is now $10, Peter. No, I'm going to give you $5. No, it's $10, Peter. You go joke about my daughter.
Just stuff like that. I like the jokes. I like the flow of the film. It just worked for me.
You know, I gave this old lady directions. She bought me a churro.
I like the quippiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which Tobey Maguire didn't have.
No. Tobey Maguire, I thought, was a good Peter Parker, but not a good Spider-Man.
Correct.
I thought that Andrew Garfield was a good Spider-Man.
And a horrible Peter Parker.
Not a great Peter Parker. He was too schizo.
I agree.
He was too jumpy and fidgety.
Yeah.
And while I like this Peter, he's a bit fidgety and stuff like that, but this one is, it's like, you know, he's got something to hide, but it can't be anything that terrible because he's just a good kid.
Yeah.
Question.
Yep.
Okay. Now, both Andrew Garfield and the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans had spider sense. There's no mention of it in this movie.
No, but they've actually addressed that in the Infinity War trailer that they showed yesterday at
D23. Oh.
They have a sequence where they're showing for the first time on screen what Peter's spider sense is like. It's like he's riding in a bus, and apparently the hairs on his arm stand up straight, and he reacts to it like he knows that there's danger.
Oh, okay. I love the really last scene at the end where Chris Evans comes out and he's like, he's doing a public service announcement, one of those public service announcements. He says, you know, when you watch a movie and you're waiting for the end, and he really wants something to happen. And then he turns to the camera guy. And he says, "How many more of these are we doing?" And then he says, "You know when you have one of those moments?" And then he looks at the audience and goes, walks away.
That was funny.
It wasn't that.
It was like he says, "You know how you really want something, and you wait till the end, it's not as great as you think it was supposed to be."
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
And it's, hey. You know, like, why did you sit here and wait so long for all of this?
Well, the audience I was with was laughing at the same time. They were going, "Really?"
Well, that was the thing. Same thing. My audience, we laughed nervously, yeah. But we were like, "Yeah, you're right. Why did we sit around and wait here for this?"
Because it was funny.
Yes.
Because I didn't have anything to say, basically. So it would have been nice to have something from Black Panther or Civil War.
Yeah, but it's a Sony movie, not a Marvel movie.
Right.
That's why.
But it is a Marvel movie, but Sony gets money.
Yeah, I don't know how they work it out.
Yeah.
You know, moving on, a movie Bob asked me to watch ages ago.
Which one is that? Is that, Gifted?
Gifted, directed by somebody. I can't read the sheet because Bob.
Mark Webb.
Mark Webb.
Who did the last two Spider-Man
movies. Yeah. Chris Evans, Octavia Spencer.
Now, here's a little bit of funny trivia for you. I watched Spider-Man, the first one, the Tobey Maguire one the other day.
Yeah.
And Octavia Spencer is in it.
Is she really?
She is. You know when he goes to the wrestling match?
Yes.
What? And Bruce Campbell's the announcer and stuff like that? Yes. Octavia Spencer is the girl that registers Peter for the...
Spider. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you want me to start on Gifted, Bob?
Oh, you forgot the last two people.
Jenny Slate, McKenna Grace.
Right.
Do you want me to talk about Gifted first?
Go ahead.
You
hated it.
I didn't hate it. Can I speak?
Of course.
Thank you.
Okay.
And this is kind of one of those heartwarming movies, Kevin, you know, they try to put out every year.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid's been homeschooled by Chris Evans all this time, and they finally send her to school.
Mm-hmm.
And they discover she's gifted.
Well, they already knew she was gifted.
He didn't know that.
No, he did. He said his sister. The sister. She wanted to bring the McKenna Grace, the daughter, up as a normal child. We already knew she was gifted. She was gifted from the start.
Is she gifted like smart or superhuman?
Gifted and smart. She was very smart.
We have to assume she was probably going to be gifted. This all comes out as the movie goes. So they send her to normal school. Normal school tests her. Elizabeth Marvel's her principal. Tells Chris Evans that she needs to go to gifted school. And he says, "No, I want her in the normal school. That's what her mother would have wanted."
Uh-huh.
So then they get into a custody battle with Grandma that we've seen forever because she's rich.
Uh-huh.
And they take him to court. And then the whole thing unravels in court.
She's rich because both she, the mother, and the daughter are all smart.
They're all mathematicians.
Yes.
And the film goes from there. And it's one of those pull-at-your-heartstrings kind of film. Like, is the kid going to get what she wants? Is Chris Evans going to keep the kid? Is Grandma going to keep the kid? And I was just kind of like, I don't care. I know Chris Evans is going to win at the end because it's one of those movies that's already predetermined for me. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it, but then it comes Octavia Spencer again. I'm like, really, Octavia? You're better than an actress of this. These films. This is a perfect film for Chris Evans. I find he's good as Captain America, but that's it.
Right.
I don't think he ever rises above the script. I don't think anybody in this film rises above the script. It's just one of those happy family movies at the end, and everything's tied up nicely.
Huh.
And everybody goes out and has a happy life. Am I wrong here, Bob?
By the end, yes, but you're still wrong because Chris Evans gives the grandmother, the grandmother always believed that the mother didn't get the solution to the problem.
Right.
She did. She had it. And he gives her the envelope and she looks at it and she goes, oh, and she starts crying because she had the solution.
The whole time.
Right.
But she didn't want the mom to have it.
Right.
why? And that's when the
until the proper time.
And that's the
which that was the proper time.
Right. And that solved the problem. And that was the end of the film.
Right. Sort of. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much at the end.
Cynic.
It's just a silly movie.
It's not okay, fine. Whatever.
I don't see a point to it. Like, you're watching this for an hour and a half, and it just didn't do anything for me. It's one of those nice, happy family movies.
Sometimes that's good, though.
Like, I'm glad
people like those kind of movies.
I'm glad it works for you. They don't work for me. You know? That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying it is what it is. Like, would you rewatch this?
Yes.
Over Spider-Man? Mad Max Fury Road? Taxi Driver? Godfather?
Considering I haven't seen Taxi Driver, Mad Max Fury Road, and a few others, I'd watch Spider-Man, I'd watch Wonder Woman, then I'd watch Gifted again. I would probably buy it. If I saw Gifted in the store,
right.
$15.
You would buy it?
I'd buy it.
Okay, well then
I've already bought Moana for $19.98 because I was waiting for 3 weeks for it to come down in price, and I'm going, fine.
How much did you pay for Moana, Kev?
He plus
I watched Blu-ray. On Netflix.
Hmm.
Huh? Oh, it's on Netflix, huh?
Oh.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Okay. You're welcome.
I am Moana.
Shining. So, moving along, War Machine, directed by who knows?
Oh, God, who knows? Who cares? That's Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt's in it, and is this the end of Brad Pitt?
What's that?
Like, why is this film made?
He's looking old.
I don't care if he looks old, this movie is.
I didn't recognize him at first.
No, definitely not, because Harris died.
He was playing George Clooney playing this character.
Yes, that's the way I felt about it.
Yeah, for this Netflix original movie. So, essentially, Afghanistan is, like, there's no way to win in Afghanistan. And so they keep sending in an endless series of commanders into the region to try to deal with the Afghanistan revolution, or I think they had caught bin Laden at that point.
They have.
And so, it's just, the Americans are there trying to keep the peace. But why are they there? What's the purpose of it? It makes no real sense, but this guy, he's the modern soldier, right? So he's loyal, and he completely believes in the military and the reign of and the chain of command and all that stuff. But he has no, like, he's a middle manager. He's like a guy that could be running your local Walmart.
Yes, you're exactly right.
And he's no real, like, he doesn't have any charm or anything to him. He's socially inept. He's distant from his wife. He leads a group of like his management team essentially are a bunch of frat boys.
Yeah.
Who like go travel around and get drunk in all the places that they go to. It's just a disaster, and it's basically, this is what America is in the world. America is clueless. There's a Tilda scene where Tilda Swinton confronts him at a military call, where he's explained his underlying principle behind whatever some crazy middle management term he's using for counter espionage or counter whatever movements. And she comes over, she says, "Listen, I actually believe that you are a good man, but I completely disagree with everything that you've said. It makes absolutely no sense. Why do you need to do this? Why don't you just let the Afghanistan people figure it out for themselves? Why do you have to be the cop and run these counter whatever programs? You know, you're just not really doing or helping or anything like that. All you're doing is, you know, I don't know what you're doing." And again, this, Even Obama, who stars in the film, not as Obama, but as an actor, stand-in, doesn't want to see him. He has no use for him. He's like, here's the, like, in another time, this guy might have been General MacArthur or a great military leader. But there's no room in today's army for Clearview, for a military mind, a military leader. So you end up with these middle managers who are generals.
And I think he has that conversation with his wife. Yeah. She says to him, he's only been home 30 days in 8 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, 9/11 happened, and this happened, and that happened. And he's just kind of, you're right. And he gets upset with her until he figures out, she says, no, I'm proud of you for everything you've done.
Yeah.
So,
you know. But what have you done it for? Like, what's the reason for why you've done it? And then he's replaced, and you see Russell Crowe at the end heading over to do, he's got the same fervor that Brad Pitt had.
Yeah.
The war machine. He's coming in, he's going to make changes, but there's no room for anybody to make changes. There's really no purpose or reason for any of this. It's just... And on top of that, he's got the coalition. He's got to deal with ass-kissers who are government types who want to move up the ladder. There's a great scene where they're at the dinner, and he's like, I want the actual goddamn Afghanistan guy who's with us to be here at the table with us. And not some ass-kisser.
Yeah.
From the State Department. And then the Ferris Bueller's buddy.
Alan Ruck.
Alan Ruck plays an interesting character. He's kind of like the all-knowing CIA guy.
He is.
The advisor who just comes and says, yeah, whatever. You think you know what you're doing. You think you have latitude and stuff like that. But there's nothing for you. You'll never get that ticker tape parade that you really want.
Correct.
You know. So, but I mean, I thought it was interesting on a metaphorical level, but the film is a slog to watch.
Oh.
It was not entertaining.
It's painful. Yeah. Nothing happens ever.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking. We've seen the end of Brad Pitt because I was so bored.
Yeah.
I was like, iPad, something. Could somebody call me, text me? Oh, it's so hard to stay awake during this film. Absolutely awful.
Yeah, it was a movie to watch when you've got nothing else to watch and you want to put something else on while you work on the computer.
Yes, that was perfect. That was exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Okay, Warcraft. So that's all right. Duncan Jones. War.
There is a classic movie. I don't think I finished this one, actually.
Again, it reminds me a lot of Transformers. I didn't understand it. The plot made no sense.
The animation was certainly very good.
I thought it looked nice CGI-wise, but I didn't understand it.
Huh.
It made no sense to me at all.
No. Something about orcs and whatever... Going from one dimension to another?
I couldn't tell you. I did not understand it ever.
No.
And one's a half orc, and I wish I could help. I don't know. But they're making a second one. Because it did so well in China.
Well, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's so much money. I wish we could talk about this more, because somebody told me you had to play the game to understand the movie.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, I didn't play the game. They make this movie. Shouldn't I have understood it?
It should work on some level as a movie.
I agree.
If you watch a movie that's adapted from a book, you don't have to have read the book. You should be getting everything that you need to from the movie. Yeah. If you read the book, maybe it enhances or it detracts from your ability to enjoy the film. But... the film should be something that stands on its own. But, I don't know. This was just garbage.
I agree. Absolute garbage.
All right, let's go to the vault.
Vault.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Bob. This is where we left the intern.
Yep.
I've been looking for him. I brought him some lunch.
Some cheese.
Is Joe in there?
I went in there. Joe, I think Joe's returning for episode 200.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen him since. I think he's still at Burlesque.
He's time traveling.
He's time traveling, yes, that's right. How to build the time machine.
What do you got for us in the vault today?
I have Kingpin. Cheese.
Oh, Kingpin.
Directed by the Farrelly brothers. With Woody Harrelson and Jeff Daniels, I think.
Yeah, what's the actress's name?
Vanessa Angel, maybe?
Vanessa Angel, yeah.
And you put this on my radar. I mean, I remember it coming out, obviously.
I've seen this many times. I love this movie.
Absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm so pissed I've never seen this movie before.
Really?
I've never seen it. I picked it up in a collection, and you put it on the list. I said, oh, great. I have a copy of that in my pile. I might as well watch it. Loved it. Absolutely loved it, Kevin. It made me laugh so hard.
Bill Murray's great in this movie.
Oh, my God. Bill Murray is so good. This is the Bill Murray I liked.
Mm-hmm.
That I find funny, Bill Murray.
And Randy Quaid as a Amish guy that he recruits to bring along.
Oh, that's what I said, Jeff Daniels. Yes, Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The scenes in this film are the bowling. I never thought I'd care about bowling in my life.
Yeah.
But the bowling scenes are just great.
No, I just, everything about this movie I enjoyed.
I like how he staged the purse scene with his landlord.
Yeah.
And the hot coffee on his buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Cried. This movie just keeps on giving.
Yeah.
And Bill Murray is just such a dick the whole movie to everybody.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think this film's like a 10 for comedy.
Yeah. And you know, with all the comb-overs and stuff that they have. And
how come they never made it 2? Or they didn't want to make it 2? I could see a second one of these.
I don't know. They could have done a second one, but Woody lost his hand years ago. And you're bowling with a fake hand.
Yeah, it was just great.
Yeah. No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's probably my favorite Farrelly Brothers movie. Although I do like There's Something About Mary.
I was going to say, I don't know, I have to watch Something About Mary. They're probably about equal to me.
Yeah.
I think they both have a lot to offer.
And, of course, Vanessa Angel, I love Vanessa Angel.
Has she done anything else, or is this it?
She's done TV and stuff.
Okay.
I could tell you, let's see. She hasn't done a whole lot. She was in the movie called The Perfect Score.
I don't think I've seen it.
Pretty sure I've seen that, but I don't remember what it is.
Bob is going through my autographed 8x10s and just passed Heath Ledger from A Knight's Tale.
Oh, I love A Knight's Tale. That was such a great movie. I
didn't even blink at it. It was kind of funny. He didn't even notice it was Heath Ledger.
I didn't even know it was A Knight's Tale.
Yeah, I met Heath Ledger once, and I was at A Knight's Tale 8x10.
Golden years.
It's a great movie. Absolutely love A Knight's Tale. Can we move on to our final three?
I wanted to look up Vanessa Angel on IMDb, but it seems to have frozen on me.
Okay, I can look it up if you want. Discuss the Mummy movies.
Oh, the Mummy movies. Good Lord. The Mummy movies, the Brendan Fraser classics. Directed by, what's the guy's name who directed those movies?
Surprising, I love.
Van Helsing.
I liked Van Helsing, even though people hated it.
And G.I. Joe.
Ooh, well, that was a little rough.
Yes, it was. With that great actor, Channing Tatum.
Oh, great, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you think of the Mummy movies? The first two, then we'll take the third on its own?
So the first movie has Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz, John Hannah.
Arnold Laszlo.
Yeah, Kevin J. O'Connor.
John Hammond, what is his name?
Hannah.
He's Hannah.
Yeah, I said John Hannah. Jonathan Hyde, Oded Fehr, Eric Avari, Stephen Dunham, Corey Johnson, Duke Watkins, and a whole bunch of other people. I love the first Mummy. I watched it again recently, and it's goofy, but it's fun goofy. It's like 1930s adventure. kind of rollicking in the Indiana Jones style. I like Brendan Fraser. I like Rachel Weisz. I like John Hannah. I think the three of them have a lot of chemistry on screen.
Yes.
And I liked Arnold Vosloo as the mummy. So, like, I this is a movie I rewatch every so often. And it still holds up as just a fun movie. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I loved it.
Go ahead.
Simon may disagree, but I really enjoyed it. Like, Brendan Fraser works as the guy that he made, like, okay, you know, you remember him from all those goofy movies he did, like, you know, I don't know if it was, that was before or after, anyway. But he works as this character because he's, like, he's searching for gold, but then he, like, makes all these mistakes and then he falls in love with Rachel Weisz's character. It just worked for me, the characters and how they're built, the build up to the end of the movie, it just works.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how he figures out that his buddy, like he's working with the mummy, and he says, "What did you do?"
Yes.
It's better to work with the devil than or stand with the devil than be killed by him, or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the chemistry. I have to agree with you on that one in the first film. I thought the set design was brutal. I didn't like the sets at all. I had a lot of problems with those sets.
I don't have a problem with the sets in that movie. I thought London looked right. I thought the Egypt sets were ruins, and so you didn't really do too much there. I don't know. I liked it. I liked the little bits with the cat, you know, scaring the mummy and all that stuff. I thought...
trying to find my tweet, but I'm unable to. There we go. I thought the plot was really dumb, too.
The plot was basic. It was simple.
Yeah,
the mummy wanted to bring his wife back, that's the plot of the original 30s mummy.
Is it? I don't remember, because I saw it so long ago. We reviewed it on the show ages ago.
So Boris Karloff is the mummy.
Yeah, I remember.
And he comes back to life. And he encounters the daughter of a guy in London who looks exactly like Anuksana Moon or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
And he wants to revive her spirit and have it come and possess the body of this reincarnation, what he thinks is the reincarnation of his love.
So that's the same thing as the Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz movie.
Except there's no, he uses the Book of the Dead in the movie. But in this, it's the Book of the Dead is like a very elaborate thing with a key and it's made of gold and all that stuff. But I thought it was cool. I thought the whole thing with the canopic jars and the three guys that took it became the three guys that he fed on, and their life energy restored the mummy to human to like full power.
Yep.
And then he possessed, you know, he was a sorcerer, so he obviously had some power behind him. He could do things like control the elements and do certain things. And that in fact he revives mummies to do his bidding. And the scorpion, the little scarabs that crawl under your skin. And
I like
you.
That.
There were nice little moments like that. I thought it was just a fun, inventive movie. Yeah. With some great characters. I thought the buddy, the Kevin O'Connor character, who was not his friend, but they were kind of...
Workmates.
They're rivals, yeah.
Yeah.
So Benny. Benny, you know, Benny's not a good guy. Benny's out for himself, but you know exactly what Benny's doing. And, you know, even though he's helping the mummy do what he has to, you know, Benny's not that terrible. You know what he stands for. It's all greed.
Yeah. And he gets his comeuppance at the end.
He does, yeah. And because of his greed.
Right.
As his success, he could hop on the camels and disappear with all the gold. But he has to go back for that one additional thing.
Yeah.
And that kills him.
That's funny.
No, I liked it a lot, and I thought Rachel Weisz
that it was former Dr. Bombay on Witch. Like he was a befuddled pilot. I thought that worked for him.
Yeah,
that kind of character worked.
And then we advanced to Mummy 2.
Yeah, 2 years later, they got back for the sequel because the first one was such a huge hit. So not too much difference in the cast. It's pretty much the same group. No Benny. Benny's dead. But they have a son now.
They do.
Jumped ahead about 10 years, and their son, played by Freddie Boeth, is there. And it seems that Patricia Velasquez, Anaxana Moon, has been reincarnated, and there's a woman that looks exactly like her.
Surprisingly.
And so, Imhotep wants to transfer the spirit to her, and he manages to do it. But, it's fun, and her henchman was played by Adewale Akinoye Agat, whatever, something.
Yeah.
You'd recognize him.
I did.
And, we learned the story of the Scorpion King, which is The Rock, who was like this ancient guy that made a deal with Anubis and got all his power and ends up becoming a scorpion. I thought this one was three-quarters of an okay movie.
I agree.
I thought some of the stuff was a bit dumb.
Yep.
And I didn't think the Scorpion King worked as a... I think it looked too fake.
It looked completely fake.
Like it was like CGI Rock.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it was... I still like it a lot. I think there's, again, that same chemistry between Rachel Weisz, Brendan Fraser, John Hannah, and even Arnold Vosloo, for that matter.
Yeah.
And the kid is annoying as hell. Kind of puts me off the whole movie, but, there's Izzy, the guy that flies the balloon, who joins in and helps him.
He was a good character.
It had its moments.
That's kind of you, not me.
No, it wasn't me.
Not me either, so I had no idea.
Not me.
My phone didn't ring.
Neither did mine. It's just random then.
No.
Weird. Nothing on my computer, because I'm on my computer. My phone's in front of me and turned off, so it wouldn't have rang.
So, I don't know.
Very strange. Oh, well. And then we finally get to the train wreck.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Oh, so they followed up The Mummy Returns with The Scorpion King.
Yes, which I saw so long ago, I don't remember.
I vaguely remember. The Scorpion King was basically like a Conan movie with The Rock.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to have a lot to do with the Scorpion King story that we saw in Mummy Returns.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be the same character, but it was just like a Conan story.
With The Rock instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So I can't even recommend it. And I don't think it was Stephen Sommers. I think it was just Universal wanted a monster movie or something that they could do with The Rock. And they thought this would be a good vehicle for it.
He just wanted a cash cow.
Yeah, I think The Rock wanted to do Conan. And that wasn't an option. So they said, well, let's make a Conan movie. We'll make one where we'll give you his character, the Scorpion King. He fits a villain that we're going to use in Mummy Returns, but then we'll give you your own movie.
Yep.
And so it works, I guess, on some level. It's not a terrible movie. I just don't remember it. And then there's been like three sequels to it, or two or three sequels.
We reviewed Scorpion King 2 on the Extra Features podcast.
Yeah. The Rock wasn't in 2, though.
Randy Couture.
Oh, okay.
No. So it doesn't matter. Now we're going to go to 3.
So, about 10 years ago, 9 years ago, they decided to get back together and did a third entry in the Mummy series called The Mummy, The Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Yes.
And in this case, it was directed by Rob Cohen. And Rachel Weisz wouldn't come back, so they cast Maria Bello.
Correct.
As Evie, and John Hannah's back. Jet Li plays the Emperor, the Dragon Emperor. Michelle Yeoh is like this sorceress, I guess, who managed to stay alive. Alex, the kid from the last movie, is an adult now, and he's mysteriously gone from being a prissy English schoolboy to a rough-and-tumble American cowboy type.
Yeah.
And he's in love with Isabella Leong.
Who plays the daughter of Michelle Yeoh, I guess.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And it deals with, the communists are involved somehow. Liam Cunningham from Game of Thrones is in it. He plays a pilot.
He does.
Who helps them out. I watched this recently, and I talk a lot about Brendan Fraser and John Hannah having chemistry and how they're good they are together.
Yep.
And it's there. In this movie, it's there again. You can tell there's a little bit, and they're trying. It's like they're trying too hard, and it's dealing with getting old.
Yeah.
Rick is getting old, but he still looks like he's about 20. He's got the same, still got the same haircut and the same stupid grin. And he's not getting older. He now has an adult son, and he's just learning how to fly fish and stuff. It's just, I don't know, it just didn't seem very good. And the movie itself, the whole thing with Jet Li, it was really dumb, actually. And they deal with Sasquatches in the mountains and all that stuff. And the fact that Rachel Weisz wasn't there is actually, it bothers me a bit.
That's what I found bad about the chemistry had changed because of the dynamics of adding adding Maria Bella to it. So I didn't find it as good as.
And I like Maria Bella usually.
Yeah, I do too. Like I liked her in Coyote Ugly and a few other movies, but this one didn't work for me. But I still like the movie as a whole. I know you didn't like the Dragon Emperor part, but I found I enjoyed it a little bit. But not as the first two.
No, the first two to me stand out. The other ones are just kind of fluff.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it ended.
Oh, I thought chemistry was terrible. Rachel Weisz can act.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a big drop off to Naomi Watts.
It wasn't Naomi Watts. It was Maria Bello.
Sorry, Maria Bello. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. Just didn't get it.
It was disappointing. I mean, there were definitely some rollicking action scenes in this film that are as good as anything in the other films too. I mean, there's a scene when they're riding carts through the roads of Shanghai, and the emperor is leading one train of horses, and actually they're his immortal horses that have come back from the dead. They're made out of stone or something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
But there are some nice moments in that, and some great action. But it's just the film itself. Yeah, they go to Shangri-La. Woohoo.
So, I'm excited. Moving on. Did you buy anything, Kevin?
I have not bought anything in a while. Surprisingly, I haven't bought any movies. It's been pretty busy for me the last month or so.
Oh.
So I'm trying to think if I bought anything. No, not even any codes. I don't even buy physical media anymore. To me, it's a waste to buy physical media. I watch whatever on Netflix or TMN Go or HBO or I watch just download it from iTunes. So, but I haven't got anything.
Okay.
Yourselves?
Bob, have you bought anything?
I don't remember after Moana. I bought something, but I can't remember what I bought.
Okay. Martin Lando died. News just in.
Oh, really? Martin Lando and George Romero today?
Same day. And I met Martin Lando. He wasn't the friendliest man, but I have met him.
Someone else died. I forget who it was.
So, okay, I'm going to tell you the other two movies I bought. Street Dance 2 on Blu-ray for 20 cents.
Wow, what a deal there.
I got 20 cents, and I have the Blu-ray and the non-Blu-ray.
Wow.
Can't wait to watch that. And Step Up Revolution. Unopened. On Blu-ray.
You see the back of that.
And a movie called New York Doll, which I've started watching, which so far is okay. We'll see where it goes.
That's not the one I want.
So that's what I picked up. So I thought Step Up Revolution, which I think I might have seen.
Oh, really?
I have to check. I probably have. Maybe haven't seen it. I don't remember. I'd have to check.
I think you're thinking of the one with Channing Tatum and where Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan first met. That was Step Up.
No, this I think I've seen Step Up Revolution already. Oh. So I thought that was a good deal for 20 cents each.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's it for me, Kev. I got nothing else, man. Hopefully we see some better movies.
Well, that's kind of sad about Martin Landau and George Romero today.
Same day.
And then we learned that Doctor Who is now going to be a woman.
Doesn't bother me. I don't watch Doctor Who. I need to start again.
I tried.
Game of Thrones returns tonight. Very excited.
Game of Thrones, half an hour from now.
I know. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Simon.
Intern.
And I'm Kevin.
And if they make it,
Simon will hate it.
To contact us, please email at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.